Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister has slammed the EU's handling of the current financial crisis. The Czech National Bank has defied expectations by leaving the benchmark interest rate at 3.5%. And over half the population breathed air containing dangerous levels of carcinogens in 2007, says a new report. The Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek says the European Union has shown a complete inability to deal rationally with the current financial crisis. Speaking on a visit to Turkey, Mr. Topolánek said nothing had done more to shake confidence in the EU than the events of the last few days. He was particularly critical of the fact some countries had introduced 100% bank deposit guarantees. He called that move a shameless step that would increase liquidity in some states at the expense of others. The Czech National Bank has defied the expectations of analysts by leaving the benchmark interest rate at 3.5%. Some economists believe the bank's board was preparing to announce a half-point cut in interest rates on Thursday. A day earlier, central banks in a number of countries announced a coordinated interest rates cut in an effort to support economies threatened by the financial crisis. The Czech National Bank is still expected to cut rates at a policy meeting planned for early next month. Shares on the Prague Stock Exchange rose by over 2% on Thursday morning, though that growth later fell back to less than 1%. On Wednesday, the Prague Börse closed at its lowest point since 2004. Broker Jan Korb of Patria Direct said that while massive sales of shares had receded, there was no belief that the Börse would now grow. Over half the population breathed air containing dangerous levels of carcinogens last year, according to a government study quoted by the news website aktualnia.cz. 22 of the Czech Republic's air measuring stations recorded levels of the chemical benzopyren at above set health limits, the report found. While limits were exceeded on under 5% of the country's territory, 51% of the population live in those areas. Benzopyren is created by the burning of coal and oil and in the production of coke and iron. The cabinet is likely to discuss the report next week, aktualnia.cz said. The Interior Minister Ivan Langer has presented the Cabinet with a plan to increase spending on the teaching of Persian, Arabic and Chinese, according to press reports. Minister Langer said the Czech Republic security services needed officers skilled in such languages in order to function effectively. He and the Education Minister Andrzej Liszka are due to hold talks on the plan during the next week before the Cabinet considers it again. The weather, we can expect quite a lot of sunshine over the next few days with temperatures of up to 21 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're tuned to Radio Prague with me, Rosie Johnston. Coming up today, Prague City Hall is criticised for developing too much of the capital's green space. New details have emerged about the communist secret police's spying tactics, and one of Czech history's most notorious miscarriages of justice, the trial and execution of Milada Horáková, in this week's From the Archives. And then later, a project encouraging young Europeans to imagine themselves in each other's shoes.
That's the good thing about youth. Youth is always open to a lot of interesting and great ideas that us old people are already set in our ways and we don't really care.
All that coming up, so stay tuned. The Czech Science Academy's Environmental Committee has issued a damning report, accusing Prague City Council of seeking to develop Prague's green spaces and thereby seriously damaging the city's already polluted air. Dominic Yun has this report.
Prague's current zoning plans are due to expire in 2010. This has led to a flurry of applications to Prague City Council for various hitherto undeveloped land to be built upon. According to critics, the Prague City Council, rather than protecting its green spaces, is set to approve many of these applications. The end result would see around 570 hectares developed in the area of Štěrboholy and Dubeč. Further green zones in the areas of Uhříněves, Sobín, Veleslavín and Vokovice would also be lost. Most disturbing of all, say critics, are plans to develop the much-cherished nature reserves in the Dívčí Hrady and Vidole in Prague 5. Radim Šram is the head of the Environment Committee that has just published the damning report. He believes strongly that untoward pressures from developers are causing public servants to cave in to commercial interests rather than protect the city's environment. I asked him what prompted the committee to issue this report.
We were afraid about recent development in Prague, where especially fields which are around Prague are changed to developing zones, you know. It means that in regions which were originally understood almost as reservation or national park be used for building.
And Mr. Schramm believes that this will have a devastating effect on Prague's environment.
It means that will be decrease of recreation zones in Prague, which means in the longer term effect on the health of children, thanks to increase of small particulate matter, which are inducing so-called oxidative damage. And according to recent result, we see that this increase of oxidative damage is corresponding to increase of bronchitis and asthma in children.
And that isn't all.
Decrease of trees in Prague could also have damaging effect on climatic changes, which means in the period of very high temperature, also increase of mortality for older population.
The plans have also met with criticism from within Prague City Hall's own development department. Nonetheless, despite protests from locals in the affected areas, the authorities are standing firm, telling the Czech news website aktualnia.cz that the city is concurrently creating new green areas. Also defending the plans, a representative from Prague 5 noted that it was better to develop these areas than to continue an outward expansion of the city. But Radim Šram remains equally and surprisingly blunt, both about his beliefs about the true motivations of those in charge of Prague and about the effect he hopes his report will have.
Because they are more interested about financial part than about this ethical, ecological and health issues. Our report is to stimulate the people to protest against those plans.
Radim Šram from the Academy of Sciences ending that report by Dominic Yun. Now, new details have come to light on how Czechoslovakia's communist-era secret police, the STB, spied on the regime's opponents, including the future president Václav Havel. The details were published on Thursday in the daily Mladá fronta dnes and come from STB records currently being digitalised by the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes. Rob Cameron reports.
Everyone knows that Václav Havel was a leading target for the STB's covert spying operations, but only now have new details emerged on how they carried out their work. The newly published files show how STB agents led by a Captain Nedbal crept into the attic of a house on what was then Bedřich Engels Embankment, now Rašín Embankment, just before dawn on February 10, 1966. Once inside, they drilled a tiny hole in the ceiling above a flat belonging to one Václav Havel, an extraordinarily talented playwright known for his opposition to socialism. In the hole, they inserted a small microphone to record conversations between Havel and the many people of anti-Marxist attitudes who came to visit. Jiří Reichl, spokesman of the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes, told Radio Prague how they'd discovered the information.
We start digitalization materials from the 6th unit STB. It was a unit which specialized for the target following or tracking. And in the 6th unit there are 180 films. And on that films are 252,000 pages of information.
So these are microfilms, I suppose?
It's 16 millimeters films, and on that are the documents. So we started digitalization, this 6th unit, and the first film are information about Václav Havel.
The placing of the microphone in Havel's apartment was carried out in absolute secrecy. Indeed, the SDB were so worried about being caught in the act, they mounted a large-scale surveillance operation to monitor Havel's movements to make sure no one was at home at the time. The microphone was connected to a telephone exchange in a neighbouring house, ostensibly installed as part of the city's civil defence system. After a week's monitoring, it became evident that one microphone was not enough, so the same three-man team was sent back to the attic of the house in Bedřich Engels embankment to install another one. The bugs were removed by the SDB in March 1968. Mlada Frontantenez claims this was because several SDB officers, influenced by the cultural and intellectual thaw of the Prague Spring, had tipped off several of Havel's friends that he was being bugged, but they didn't need telling, says the paper. Actor Pavel Landowski told Mlada Frontantenez that everyone knew Havel's flat and phone were bugged, and they acted and spoke accordingly. The bugging of Havel's apartment is just the tip of the iceberg. Jiří Reichl says the institute has 20 kilometres of files belonging to the SDB and other communist-era bodies, plus another 5 kilometres on microfilm. That information is being gradually digitalised and put online, and almost all of it will be made available to the public.
Rob Cameron with that report. Now it's time to delve back even further into the earliest days of communism in the former Czechoslovakia, and more precisely into a grisly show trial which shocked the world. Here's David Vaughan with this week's From the Archives.
Many people in Czechoslovakia greeted the communist coup of February 1948 with enthusiasm, in the belief that the horrors of the war should never be allowed to happen again. But following the model of Stalin's Soviet Union, it was not long before a period of political terror began, with thousands of arrests and then a series of political show trials. The most horrific symbol of the period was the trial and execution of Milada Horáková. She had been one of the most enlightened politicians of the pre-war Czechoslovak Republic, a champion of democracy and women's rights, and had spent most of the war in Nazi prisons and concentration camps. After the liberation, Milada Horáková resumed her political career. Here she is in July 1945, honouring those who had resisted the Nazis during the occupation. In typical spirit, she points to the role of women.
Ženy stály všude. Byli v koncentračních táborech, byli v žalářích, odcházeli z
táborů. Women were everywhere, she says. They were in the concentration camps, in prisons. Mothers of small children walked out bravely and unfalteringly as they were taken out for execution. They fought as partisans, they fought as members of our army, and their battle reached its climax in the last hours of the war, during our revolutionary struggle, as they fought on the barricades. By a grim irony, Milada Horáková herself was executed almost exactly 5 years later, showing throughout the trial the same courage that she had pointed to in others. After the 1948 coup, she had resigned her seat in Parliament, and 18 months later she was arrested, accused without a scrap of evidence of heading a group that was trying to overthrow the regime.
Přerušené hlavní přelíčení. Povstaňte a poslyšte rozsudek.
The trial was broadcast on newsreels and radio, a warning to anyone who might dare to doubt the merits of the new order in public. The state prosecutor was a man called Josef Urválek, whose rhetoric and tone were eerily reminiscent of Josef Goebbels, and whose style of cross-examination was nothing short of vicious.
Obžalovaná Horáková je zločinou organizátorkou celého zažalovaného záškodnického spiku.
The accused Horáková is the criminal mastermind of this entire terrorist conspiracy that stands here on trial. She is linked to a whole reactionary underworld that comes flocking to her from all sides.
Na ní navazují a k ní se zbíhají spoje reakčního podzemí ze všech krajů.
Milada Horáková remained unbroken and calm throughout the trial. Here is a short extract from her speech in her defense that puts the fanaticism of her prosecutors into sharp focus and points to her faith in the principles of Czechoslovakia's first two presidents.
V zásadě jsem prohlásila orgánům státní bezpečnosti, že se trvávám ještě ve svém přesvědčení.
I have stated to the organs of state security that I remain on principle firm in my convictions, and that I remain so because I have built these convictions on the opinions, points of view, speeches and information of people who I have respected. Among them I include our country's two greatest figures, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk and Edvard Beneš, both of whom were an inspiration to me throughout my life.
Tomáše Garrigua Masaryka a Edvarda Beneše, kteří na mě velmi působili během mého celého života.
The court sentenced Milada Horáková to death for treason. In spite of petitions signed by Winston Churchill, Albert Einstein and Eleanor Roosevelt, she was hanged on June the 27th, 1950, at the age of 48.
David Vaughan there, bringing you some of the more harrowing recordings from the Czech Radio Archive. You're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for Panorama, which this week is with Jan Velinger.
Yes,
from screen to screen, them traveling, but I'm a wanderlust king. I stay on the road.
Imagine you were born in another European country. Who would you be? What would you look like? What languages would you speak? Those were some of the questions students in 22 EU countries, including the Czech Republic, were asked to address in a new competition this year called Alter Ego. Part of the year of intercultural dialogue promoted by the EU, the competition, which just wrapped up, invited young people between the ages of 14 and 18 to create their own double portrait using any manner of techniques: drawing, painting, photography, sculpture, film, and even music. The goal was to try to imagine life in another European's shoes, focusing on issues of cultural diversity. I caught up with one of the project's main organizers here, Helena Kovatíková of Prague's Czech Center. She told me more about Alter Ego at the awards ceremony.
The project was announced in April this year. We had the big launch event on 22nd of April, and we made a big effort to get as many children as possible, of course through schools, but through youth organizations, ethnic groups, and other organizations like arts clubs and art schools as well. I'm very pleased to say that Czech Republic was the best from the 22 countries taking part in the project. We were at the first place. We had 135 entries, and the jury was electing out of these 135 10 nominees.
The jury itself was then made up of five panel members representing expertise in the arts as well as on multicultural issues and international affairs.
It was very important for us to get very good partners which are experts in the field of migration, intercultural dialogue, intercultural education, etc. Therefore, the partners, in fact, reflected the jury. The president of the jury was Petr Kamenický from the Masaryk University, namely from the arts department of the pedagogical faculty, who is running such projects for quite a long time, and then they even have the intercultural section in their art department. So that was the first one. Then it was necessary to have someone from the UNIC organization. So we have chosen the president of Prague UNIC cluster, the director of the Romanian Institute, Mr. Danduca. Then we had three ladies, the painter Ladena Gážiová, a young artist, and the other members of the jury were our partners, which was People in Need organization, Mrs. Ilona Labuťová, and then the association for International Affairs, the director of AMO, Mrs. Savovova.
They chose the 10 semi-finalists, but were originally not meant to choose the two winners. That was to have been decided by public vote over the internet. Tampering in the system, unfairly giving the advantage to some entries, changed all that. According to Helena Kovaříková, that led to last-minute changes in the selection process.
We have discovered very soon that there is a fraud to voting. So we started to make the system more secure, but the hackers continued to attack the voting system, and even at the last moment when the competition was supposed to be finished officially, which was the 3rd of October, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, so there were even thousands of votes coming after 6 o'clock. So we've decided that this would be damaging to the credibility of all partners involved and of the competition as well. So we've decided with the support of the Brussels Steering Committee that we have to annulate the public voting, and it's fair enough to summon again the jury, and as it happened in other countries who faced similar problem like Hungary and Germany. So we decided that we'll use the expert jury, and that we will entrust the last word into the hands of the jury.
The final decision was announced at a special ceremony at Prague's Center for Ethnic Minorities this week with all the necessary fanfare, including a choir performance featuring African-American singer Tanya Graves, a member of the famous Czech band Monkey Business. She was one of the contest's ambassadors and afterwards had this to say about the students' work.
Of the 10 that we saw today, I would say that I liked a lot of them. Two that won, they were good. They were two of my favorites. But there were a couple others that I think I might have liked even more. But I liked the ones that won as well.
She also wholeheartedly backs projects like Alter Ego Sing. Competitions like this one serve well to broaden horizons.
Supporting young artists now means chances are they'll go on and do better things instead of worse things. That's the good thing about youth. Youth is always open to a lot of interesting and great ideas that us old people are already set in our ways and we don't really care.
So which works won? The first was a portrait by 17-year-old Adela Wagnerova, a black-and-white diptych featuring a female protagonist and mirrors, capturing elements of self-reflection, similarity, and difference.
I make a photo, and it's about me, my friend. She's a black woman, and it's about a mirror to the world. We have to not search different, but something that we have in common.
The other winner was Yulia Klimentova, whose black and white black pen drawing used the motif of eggs or egg shells to represent fragility.
It's a joke with egg and ego, and I wanted to express that we have many things that we love and want to protect around us. But sometimes we protect too much and don't think about that we create barriers around us, which is like eggshell. And I think that we should try to just sometime break the shell and try to communicate and, enjoy new experiences.
Both young women, one in her final year at secondary school, the other in her second to last, will now travel to Copenhagen for a 6-day workshop with professional artists, where they'll also meet 42 other winners from the other EU countries.
I'm excited, and I trust that it will be nice days.
I'm happy, and I would like to just really enjoy it and then help in my school just to experience something similar like this, like dialogue of cultures.
That opportunity, says Nigel Bellingham of the British Council, also involved in Alter Ego, is an exciting one. He says in addition to the contest providing a great experience for the students who won, the workshop will also give something back to local school systems, namely useful guidelines for future multicultural projects.
That would be great if that can happen. One of the things that the workshop that will take place in Copenhagen when the young people work together is that they will start developing a pack of materials that teachers can use here in the Czech Republic and in other countries. And that's one of the aims of the project, to generate a greater discussion and greater benefit, not just for those people who took part in the competition, but other people too. But I'm a wanderlust king.
Nigel Bellingham from the British Council speaking there to Jan Fellinger. And that's all we've got time for today here on Radio Prague. Just before I go, though, let me remind you that you can write to us to respond to anything you've heard in the show, or indeed with any questions about Czech culture and society. The address for emails is english@radio.cz. And if you want to write a good old-fashioned letter, then you can send it to Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague to the Czech Republic. And don't forget to have a look at our webpage. You can find there transcriptions of everything you've heard in the show today and lots, lots more besides. That's at www.radio.cz. But for now, that's all. So for me, Rosie Johnson, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's thanks for listening and goodbye.
Moving in, building discotheques. Trans-Siberian sex toys and what a nut.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, well, at least that's something different from what they got in every other airport. Я не еврей, но кое-что похоже. Соврать не даст ни Юра, ни Сережа. Simply because I'm not a total cacho. I travel the world looking for understanding of the times that we live in, hunting and gathering first-hand information, challenging definitions of sin. I travel the world looking for lovers of the ultimate beauty, but never silly. I'm a wanderlust king. I stay on the run. Let me out.